So this morning, we're still talking about a chance to change. And this morning, I wanted to talk about cultivating your heart for change. We need to have a heart of change. We need to be looking for change constantly. And change can manifest in a lot of ways. Some of you have had the same hairstyle for 50 years. That's fine. I'm not talking about that kind of change. You can change that if you want to. Go hog wild. You know, my wife, her hairstyle changes, color changes, makeup changes, all this. And she asked me a lot of times, how do you like my hair? I'm like, honey, I ain't never seen you with hair I ain't liked. Short, long, you just make everything look good. So you just keep up doing that, we're all going to be fine. And I know she probably wants some more feedback, but I'm serious. It's just, man, you look good with short hair. You look good with long hair. I'm sure you could go bald and still look great. And if you didn't, we'll buy wigs and throw that on there, whatever you want to do. And so in all of it, hey, let me tell you, I grew up in the Church of God. Most of y'all know that. I found out way later, none of their hair were real. They were all clips, glued in, weaved in. They were all, you didn't know it until you had a Holy Ghost meeting. You can only shake it enough before it comes flying out. and I learned too that some of those, we had beehives, we had high hair. They would say, jack it to Jesus, he'll see you coming. And so they would wrap it up in like a big old beehive, but they cheated. Some of them put paper in there, like cardstock. They would, you know, cut it and tape it so it would be a comb. And then they would wrap the hair all the way up it and use bobby pins and spray it with hairspray. And it looked like they had a lot of hair for a beehive until they started shaking it. And then the paper fell out. Everything fell out. Now, the men a lot of times would say stuff like, if God wanted them to have hair like that, he wouldn't cause them to shake it out. That's bull junk, too. Don't get into a lot of, you know, we try to make up rules for everything. God don't want you to paint your face and all that. I'm like, paint whatever you want. All right, I'm glad y'all are with me on that. All about the heart. That's the key. That is the key. Thank you. My wife keeps me on track. It is about the heart. It is about the heart. Everything we do, you can do the same. Why can two people do the same thing and get different results? A lot of times it is the why behind the what. It is the why behind the what. Somebody can do it for vain reasons, and somebody else can do it for a different reason and get two different results. It is the why behind the what. And so we need to have a heart of cultivating change, to constantly looking for change. Now, does this mean you can't, I just want to be very clear. Does this mean you can't use what God has given you for your own pleasure? Absolutely you can. First of all, God is a God about taking care of his people and giving his people pleasure. Amen. Hello. He said in Psalms 25 and verse 37, or 37, I think it's 25, 37. Let my people shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure and the prosperity, the increase of his servants. God enjoys your increase. God enjoys you prospering. God enjoys you having nice things, but nice things should not have you. They shouldn't have you. That what all the decisions you make is about the things and not about following God. So that's the difference. Somebody can get nice things, and if God told them to sell everything and move, and I'm not going to lie, it may pull at their heart a little bit, but they'll do it. Why? Because the things don't have them. They have the things. I remember one time, I had an expensive watch somebody gave me. I loved it. I was so excited. I wore it one time to a conference. And just on the inside of me, I felt the Lord say, give it away. Give it to the kid that was beside me. And he was from Africa, didn't speak much English. And I'm like, Lord, I don't even know if he knows what a Rolex is. Not because he was from Africa. Let me make it very clear. It was because he was from a podunk town. I didn't know anything about, you know, certain watches and things of this nature because I was from a podunk town. We never saw this stuff, even knew what it was. And so when I told the Lord, I'm having a conversation with God. I'm like, he won't even know. What, you know, and then my wrists are small, Lord. It probably won't even fit him. I'm having a whole conversation with the Lord about it. And then all of a sudden God prompts me again. So I take it off to look at it. And I'm like, I haven't even had you for like a week or two. This isn't fair. And what do I tell my daughter every time she tells me it's not fair? Life ain't fair, baby. Suck it up, buttercup. Get over it. Life is not fair. And you better thank God it's not fair. Because if it was fair, you wouldn't have half the stuff you got. Mm-hmm. All right. Because if it was fair, the whole world, if we split it, oh, we can't get into it. Let's move on quickly. And so I finally took it off. The boy beside me, he had a watch. His watch was busted. He took his off. And we're both looking at our watches. And I look at him and says, hey, excuse me. He goes, yes. I'm like, do you know, and I named the brand, do you know what this is? He goes, it's a watch. I'm like, yes, but do you know what kind? Have you ever heard of it? He's like, no. I'm like, okay, look, this watch doesn't have batteries. And when you move, it winds up. So if it stops, don't try to replace a battery. Don't throw it away. Don't get rid of it. And he goes, oh, okay. So I give it to him. And I'm kind of sulking on the inside because this is the first one of those watches I've ever owned. And you know, and I'm giving it away. And I'm like, it's so nice, Lord. It's actually the most expensive thing I own. This is more expensive than my car. This is more expensive than anything I own. And you just told me, prompted me to give it away. And so I go back to my hotel room, very happy. No, that's a lie. I was sulking the whole time. I was not happy. You could see it on my face, everything. And I go to my room. I'm like, Lord, I really wanted, could you at least let me have it for a year? A year would have been nice. A year would have been really nice. You just, in like a week, I had the most money ever come into my hands, ever, in the shape and the form of a watch. And then you had me give it away in like a week. This isn't fair. And I had every scripture to hold on to. The blessed of the Lord. You shall reap all this stuff of why I should enjoy and keep it. All the reasons. I bent all the scriptures to what benefit me. Yeah. And so as I'm sitting there sulking, just on the inside of me, I felt the Lord prompt me and say, I will always get things to you if I can get them through you. And sometimes you'll be able to enjoy them for a day and sometimes 5 to 10 years. But if you will always listen to me, I will always funnel things through you. None of it's yours, it's mine. And if you will listen to my voice, I will constantly bring blessings to you. And I repented. I got better. I had to work on being happy about it. But I did repent. And I asked the Lord to help me change. Help me to see that nothing that I have is because I did anything anyway. This is all yours. You're entrusting me. Go back to the scripture that I was talking about over offering. Honor the Lord with your substance. So it can mean giving things away. But I had to take everything that he's given me and steward it wisely. And so when we need to have a heart of cultivating change, we need to have a heart after God. We need to have a heart where we hear the Lord and we're quick to respond. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. You can sacrifice all day long. You could fast. I mean, look at the world. The world has come up with a religion of sacrifice. There's people who beat themselves with razor blades until they bleed all the way down their body, until they become faint because they believe the sacrifice will draw them closer to God. I'm going to tell you, there is no sacrifice that will draw you closer to God quicker than obedience. The only reason to sacrifice is to calm the flesh down so that your obedience gets stronger, quicker, bolder. We can rebuild it. Oh my goodness. Y'all turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to get there eventually. Eventually we'll get there. But plan and pursue change is the only way for growth and increase to produce in our life. Without change, what is that statement? You got to do something you've never done to get something you've never had. How can I get this? Well, you got to step it up in an area. You got to change in an area. You don't like something of your life, you're going to have to change something in your life to get a result. Now, can I tell you this? That is spiritual and natural. That is spiritual and natural. If there's things in the natural you don't like about yourself, you're going to have to do some things in the natural to change it. and there are some things spiritually in your life you don't like, then you're going to have to look at your spiritual life and make changes accordingly to reap something you've never had before. Oh, Lord. I need an organ. I need an organ this morning. I feel like organ preaching this morning. So we need to look over our life, see what is producing what we want and what is not producing what we want. We need to look over everything and make changes accordingly. And sometimes you'll look at your life and you know you want a different result and you have no idea what to do. What do? We trust the Lord.
That's right.
Hey, this is what you've got to do. First of all, you need to come to a realization. Some of you are going to need to stand in a mirror. Some of you are going to have to, maybe you don't have a mirror. Maybe when you get outside, pull up your phone. Put the picture, you know, like you're taking a selfie. Don't take a selfie. Because it's been proven those people who take so many selfies are psychos. There's a study out there mainly focused on males. But they say, the more, listen, ladies, if you're dating, if you're single and you're dating a man who posts a selfie every day or every other day, you want to run. I'm just trying to point back to scientific paper that states that fact. So if you are that dude, quit it and nobody will know you're a psycho. Quit now. And so in all this, you may have to bring up your photo and have yourself look at yourself and tell yourself something. You need to tell yourself, you've got to change your mindset. The Lord loves you. The Lord wants to bless you. You are good enough in God. God is a good God and you are a good person. He created you good. The only thing in you or the only thing that you're producing is not good is not you to begin with. It is the world. It is, you have been duped. You have been blinded. You're into believing a lie about yourself. If you think you're not good enough to walk in the blessings of God, it is because you have believed a lie. But we've got to change. You're going to have to change your mindset. I didn't coin this phrase. I've heard so many people say it that I don't know who the originator was, but you got stinking thinking. And you're going to have to change your stinking thinking. You know why it stinks? Because it's dead. It's not alive. God, His thoughts are alive. His thoughts breathe breath into something that was dead. When you begin to think the right thoughts, your dead dreams can come alive. What has been in your life that you wanted changed in your life that seems to be dead, when you begin to put the right thoughts on the inside of you, God will breathe His life, breathe His breath into your life and cause those dreams to come alive. Just like the prophet, can these bones live? Some of you are standing before dreams, standing before visions, standing before plans that God has placed on the inside of your life. And you ask, can these dreams live? And I'm here to tell you that with God, your dreams will come alive. Your blessing that the Lord has poured out upon you will function.
Yes, hallelujah.
Not because of you, but because you were created by God to fulfill them. You are created by the Creator. See, everything you see about yourself, everything you were told about yourself that goes against what God has said about you is a lie. See, the world has said you deserved certain things that come your way. Oh, you did certain actions. That's why that is in your life. This sickness is on your life because you did it. You deserve it. Well, in the natural stance, that may look 100% true. But can I tell you something? Maybe you did something to receive something. That is a lie because that's never you to begin with. God did not come to this world to save a sinner. He came into this world because His saints had the sin of this world on them. You were created to be a saint of God. He knew you before the world was ever created. God doesn't create junk. Every person on the face of the earth has a call on their life, has a purpose in their life, and God wants to bring you back to the original design.
Amen.
You know, I sometimes talk about classic cars in this manner because I like classic cars and classic trucks. But when you try to take a classic car and put bumpers on it that were built in 2018, you can make it work. But let me tell you, it will look like junk. It will look like something it was never created to look like. And what has happened is the world comes along and speaks to us about sexuality, the way we should look, the way we should think, the way we should act. And we are trying to put junk on a model car that was beautiful in its design. It was beautiful the way it was created. It is meant to run and operate in a certain manner. And we are trying to make it look like something it was never to look like in the beginning. So what do? We shake ourselves. We get this junk off of us. We change mentalities. We change mindsets. And we begin to function like we were created, our original design. So the reason why some of this stuff, it seems like it doesn't fit, is because it doesn't. You were never meant to think like that. You were never meant to think less of yourself. You were never meant to think that you were not worthy. You were never meant to have those thoughts, those suggestions, and those ideas. Adam and Eve walked with God perfect. They spoke with Him, not knowing, not focused on themselves, but focused on God, and they were alive, and their spirit was alive unto God. The problem we have today is many of us are so focused on ourselves, we can't even get into the presence of God. We can't move a past. Our bumper doesn't quite fit well. And I'm not talking about looks, men and women. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just talking about we're trying to function the way the world functions, when we need to function the way the kingdom functions. And when we begin to function in the kingdom, we'll let go of stuff that is not important. We'll let go of junk. And then the life of God will be breathed into our marriages, into our finances, into all this stuff. And our dreams and our visions will live again. Oh, have we read scripture yet? Oh my goodness. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. What is your greatest seed on the face of the earth? The word of God. And when we sow the word into our hearts, we will see a harvest produced. Let's look at 4, and we're going to start in verse 3, and we're going to see four conditions of the heart here. Mark 4 and 3, hearken. I like when King James just starts with that. We should start our sentences more with hearken. I'm just going to be in my house randomly. Hearken, children. Hearken to the voice of thy father. I wonder how they'll respond to that. So behold, there went out a sower to sow. Can I ask something? What does a sower do? Sow. Oh, my goodness. What does a believer do?
Believe.
Oh, my goodness. You right now know more than most theologians. A believer believes, a sower sows. And it comes to pass that as he sows, some fell by the wayside. How many of you have planted things? All right. And you know, me and my grandfather, we would plant just all kinds of stuff, from cabbage to collard greens. Don't say yes. Unless you throw, a lot of fat in there from a pig, it ain't no good. Nobody eats plain collard greens. They soak it in something that's better. There's a reason why kale and hail rhymes. There is a reason. But. So, you know, a lot of times for my yard, right? I reseed. Even just in areas that are grass filled. And the way that I reseed, yes, you can have a spreader. But a spreader works the same way, but a lot of times I just have a bag, and I'm holding the bag open, and I'm putting my handful in, and I'm throwing it. Now, there are some seeds like okra, potatoes, things of that nature. You're more precise. You go down the line, you put it, and then about 3 feet later, you plant another one, and about 3 more feet, you plant, so it has plenty of space. There's some things like when I planted bridal crown to grow, so it kind of fences off my neighbors. You know, that'll get up to 10 feet tall and 6 feet, 8 feet wide, so you can kind of make a fence out of it, right? Yeah, natural fence. And so sometimes you plant that stuff. Well, if you're planting it, you got to plant it about 3 to 3.5, 4 feet apart so that when it grows, it touches and will make a wall. So there's some things you need to know how to plant. There's some different types of planting. But this seed is what they're talking about scattering, like I would with grass seed, walking outside, throwing grass out there. And so there is scattering. Can I tell you something? Sometimes when you do that, it's heavier in one area and lighter in the others. And so what this guy's doing, he is sowing seed, throwing it out there. That's what it's letting us know. And it says that some are by the wayside where the word is sown, but they have heard it. Now, all these are by the wayside where the word is sown. Verse 15. I told you verse 4. Let's go back to verse 4 so I read it in order. And it comes to pass, we're going to jump around. And as it comes to pass, as he sows, some fell by the wayside and the fowl of the air came and devoured it. Verse 15 gives us the translation of what it means. And these are by the wayside which the word is sown, and they have heard, but who comes? The evil one, the defeated one. He comes when? Not tomorrow, not in a month. He comes immediately. The enemy comes immediately to steal the word. We could look at it this way. I like to buy seed, grass seed, that's coated in blue stuff, which absorbs water, holds the water on the seed. R that's in like natural compost. Why? Because if I just throw a bunch of seed, the birds come and eat my seed. And I didn't pay for that seed to fill a bird's stomach up. I paid for that seed so that it brings what I wanted it to bring, which is green grass. Yes. My girls ask me, Daddy, dandelions are so pretty. Why do you kill them? Because I didn't pay to have dandelions popping up in my yard. Now, mine in your yard may look different. You want to go all natural? You could tell me all day long. I've had people tell me, dandelions are so good for you. You can eat them. You can make a drink out of them. They're full of this. They're full of that. That's why I eat other green stuff. I don't need to grow it in my yard. So if you like dandelions, let the dandelions grow. That's your yard, not mine. But don't come and tell me that I need dandelions in my yard. All right, so. I even had my girls ask me, Daddy, why do you call them a weed? They're flowers. They look so pretty. I'm here like, well, that's why we plant flowers that look pretty in a certain area. I am the master of this garden. All right, let's continue. And so the enemy comes immediately to steal the word that's sown out of our heart. God is using a natural circumstance, something that happens in the natural. That if you don't watch over your seed, the birds of the air will come and steal it. Those little rabbits, they'll come and eat it and steal it. They'll chew it down to the ground. There's so many predators. There's so many tricks of the enemy out there to steal the word out of your heart. The greatest seed on the face of the earth, the enemy is coming to kill, to steal, and destroy. And so let's continue reading chapter 4 and verse 5. And some fell upon the stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, had no depth of earth. And when the sun came up, it was scorched because it had no roots. You got to look at your neighbor and say, put down some roots. Put down some roots. If you are going to flourish, you're going to have roots. Without no root, it withers away.
That's right.
I'll say this too. If the word of God has not taken root in your heart, if you haven't got the word on the inside of you, when it is challenged, it will either you have to take root or it will die. Oh, I am preaching good this morning. Now, let's look. In verse 6, sun came up, scorched, it died. Verse 16 tells us the translation. And these are likewise, or explains it to us, which are sown on stony ground, who have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. Yay! That's good! I love it! They were so excited. They heard it, immediately received it with gladness, verse 17, and had no root in themselves, so endured for a time. Afterwards, when afflictions and persecution arise for the word's sake. Why does it come? It comes to test the word. The enemy may not be able to steal the word out of your heart, but he will come and test if you believe it. Now, a lot of people say, God is testing. No. The enemy is coming to see if you believe it. Because if you don't believe it, if it's not taken root in your heart, he's going to try to destroy you. Because with the word on the inside, you can look at a mountain and say, be cast into the sea, and it will obey you because you spoke the word. So when you begin to speak the word, it is as Jesus speaking the word. It has the same power. It has the same effect. It has the same ability. It will not be no different. If God walked the earth and planted his word, the world sees no different. The enemy sees no different. The spiritual realm sees no difference in Jesus Christ speaking the word versus his people. Speaking the word, it has the same authority, it has the same effect. God says, I watch over my word that it will not return void. Oh, be not deceived. God is not mocked. He is never, ever mocked. So this person receives with gladness, but when the heat gets turned up on what they believe, when the world tests it, because the world will test. They'll test what you believe. They'll test to see if you're genuine. The enemy will test to see if you're genuine. And if you're not genuine, they will crush it. That's why we have to have the word on the inside of us. It will be tested. Everything you believe will be tested. That's why so many people are like a boat in the sea. They're tossed this way, tossed that way. The whole world, our whole system. Look at our stock markets. One rumor that things are going bad. Oh, my goodness. They plummet. Oh, and then something they do is in the right direction. Oh, now our stocks are going up. Our stocks are controlled by word of mouth and rumors. They can change overnight. Oh, my Lord. We just saw recently that with Trump in, having communications with China. Man, plummet at a rumor that trades were going to be cut off. These plummet. And then when they found out it didn't happen, it went back up. All over a rumor. Our words can control the economy. It can cause a stock to plummet. It can cause brands to be destroyed. There are whole brands that have closed their doors. One I'm thinking of, I'm not going to mention, but it was a drink, a soft drink, and they get a rumor went around that soft drink would affect you in a certain way. And it closed its doors. They couldn't sell it. All over a rumor. Don't act like that's surprising to you. This stuff happens in high school all the time. They try to destroy people over little bitty rumor. Somebody gets more attention, so they're going to talk bad about them and spread it out. The world functions. Kids are just more open with their bull. The world, as they grow up, they get better at hiding it. Yeah, it still operates the same way, but the word of God is different. The kingdom of God is different, and it will test what you believe as the world goes all over the map. The people of Christ should stay solid. The people of Christ should be rooted and grounded on his word. Amen. Now, Psalms 1:1, you write it down, don't go there. But Psalms 1:1 says, blessed. The word blessed there means the power to prosper or increase. Is the man that walks in the does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But is delighted in the law of the Lord. What does that mean? Delighted in the word. delighted in the word, and in his law, or his word, does he meditate. He imagines. He absorbs in thought. Day and night. This is a lifestyle. This is the way we live. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The key to healthy spiritual roots is an imagination that can begin to see the things of God coming to pass. And what, you know, I've heard people doing insane things. And it may start off very naturally for you to imagine yourself. I remember a guy in ministry who knew he was called to preach, knew he was called for traveling minister, and he wanted to go around the world. He would have his assistant drop him off at the airport. They would say bye. They would hug. He would have his luggage, drop him off at, like, number one. The guy would drive around and pick him up at door number 5 and greet him like he just came back. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely crazy. It's insane. But that's what it took for him to begin to imagine walking in the blessings of God for him. Now, does he still do that today? No. Why? Because his ministry has flourished. Why did it flourish? He put down strong roots. He began to imagine what it would look like to walk in what God called him to be and do. So in the beginning, it may be very natural for you. Can I tell you something? I don't do all the time. But when I commune with God in my office and in myself, there's a lot of times that I would get up out of my chair and I would go sit on the other side of the desk and I would tell the Lord, please sit. This is your chair. This is a place of honor. I will sit on the other side of my desk. And then I'd be like, no, for real. Lord, please, please, please. Yes, it's my office, but sit. That's ridiculous to the world. But it was me doing something so that I could begin to imagine God showing up in my office. Now, do I do that all the time? Absolutely not. But that's where I started. I started doing something natural to begin to imagine the supernatural. And so for you, it may look silly in the beginning. It's not going to stay there. It's not going to stay there. But we begin to do something that gets us out of what we are in right now and beginning to see the plan of God manifest in our lives. So start using your imagination. Start using your imagination to see God's word manifesting in your life. Jeremiah 17:8 says this, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spread out her roots by the river and shall not see the heat come. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." When you get deep spiritual roots, the stuff that used to make you lose fruit or begin to wither, you won't even feel. It's saying that these trees that have its roots deep in the water, though the rest of the world experience drought, this tree won't even feel it. The stuff that used to cause your knees to shake, the stuff that used to cause you to grow faint, the stuff that used to make you weary in life, you're planting down the roots in God's word. And when the heat of the world, when the enemy comes against you, that plan, it used to work. That strategy used to work against you. Somebody would say something about you and you would snap. You would lose your cool and you would come unglued and tell them off. I'm giving them a piece of my mind. My mother used to tell me, don't give so much of your mind, you'll lose it all. Some of us don't have a lot left to give. So we need to begin to act as God has created us. Act and function in his ability. And what used to set us off, what used to seem like a waterfall, it used to seem like it would a flood that swept us off our feet. Now it's just a little trickle. What used to be a swarm, now is a little bitty gnat. As your roots grow deeper, you'll be able to figure out, find out, the stuff that used to destroy you doesn't even just bother you. It's just a little gnat. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, my life is changing. I'm ending with this scripture, Genesis 1 and 5. And the Lord came down to the city and the tower, which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. See, Jesus was from the south. And the Lord came down to the city and the tower, which the children, 11:5, somebody knows how to use Google, which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Y'all messed up my joke about God being from the south. Because in the north, they would say the people of God are one. But Jesus said they is one. As he drank his sweet tea. And they have one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have what? Imagined to do. God is pointing something very particular out to his people. When we begin to use our imagination, when we begin to see God do what he said he would do. Do you know what's interesting to me? I know none of you out there are Star Trek fans. Some of you have missed God altogether and are Star Wars fans. We will discuss that later. Where did this come from? Star Trek. They walked over the cabin with a computer device, checking things out, talking to Captain Kirk and Captain Picard and all of these people. And they have these little buttons they press and they talk. Why are these things invented? Because man imagined them. Some Hollywood producer imagined it, put it before thousands of people. Before thousands and thousands of people, millions of people have watched that show. And their imagination, they saw it and said, why can it not be done? And then inventions were created because man imagined it to be so. Now, this, which has no power of God to produce. What if we put our imagination with the word of God behind it? What if we planted the word on the inside of us and begin to speak the word with clarity, begin to speak the word with understanding, beginning to speak the word with boldness and confidence on the inside of us? That if a whole nation of people could build a city and a tower and accomplish everything that they imagined to do, how much more can I accomplish if I begin to quote God's word on the inside of me? If I begin to take the blessing that God has called me to, the things that he has said about me. What if I take the word and say that God imagines good things about me? Get rid of the religion that says he thinks bad things about me, that he's going to punish me. He's going to, things that I have sinned and messed up, he will hold it against me. He will cause my life to go through pain and suffering because of what I have done wrong. But instead of focusing my imagination and my thought process and my life on that, begin to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That God thinks of me and his thoughts are only good. That God has a plan for me. That he knew me before the foundations of the world. That's right. What if I begin to speak and imagine that? Man imagined a computer that could talk all the way across the world. A little device that you could speak into that would go up to satellites and go anywhere. Anywhere. They imagined that. They created it. How much more could we imagine the gospel going around the world? That these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What if we begin to imagine that? What if we begin to plant that? What is it that we could not do if this church got together in oneness of mind and said, let's forget our squabbles, let's forget our problems, let's forget the past that is behind us and push forward for what God has called us to do as one body and as individuals? What could we accomplish with that on the inside of us? And I want to encourage you this morning. God is giving us a chance to change. What will we do with it? Father, we come before you. And we say, here we are. Use us.